Branch NMLS number 33041. Rick Rittman's NMLS number 664589. Equal housing lender. Some restrictions apply.
Welcome to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Our branch NMLS is 33041. Now here's your host, the hard-working mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome and thank you for joining me today. I appreciate it very much. I hope you're having a great weekend. You know, it's always one of those things I never know how to... I've been doing shows for about... radio shows for about 8 years or something like that, and I never know how to start the doggone thing. I never know whether how I do it makes any sense or not, and I apologize. If you have any suggestions, you know, go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com and let me know. I'm open to suggestions. I would like to make it so that it's better. So any suggestions would be greatly appreciated. Again, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Today I want to talk about a variety of things, one being the different ways to finance a home. We've talked about the last couple of weeks how unbelievably strong this market is, that most people have never seen a market like this, and that if you want to buy a house, there are, you know, you have to get the best options you can. You have to make the best offer you possibly can. And with that, it does make a difference on the type of financing you're going to do. So specifically, I want to talk about FHA, VA financing versus conventional. And I want to talk about it because there's a lot of real estate agents that have told me that making an offer with an FHA or VA right now can actually make the offer. They just look at it, they put it aside, and they take a conventional offer. And a lot of that's because there's some... it's not totally undeserved, but some thoughts there about how it affects the seller, and that that VA and FHA may not be as good as a financing for the seller, not necessarily for the borrower, but for the seller, than it is for the seller. And the seller, the other issue they have is, you know, especially VA doesn't... If you qualify for, you're a veteran and you qualify for a VA loan, it doesn't require a down payment. And so if that appraisal comes in low, the seller wants to know you got some money to bring, because one of the big benefit to VA is that there's usually no down payment required. And that can be a huge benefit for a VA buyer. But right now, that's making the sellers very leery. And same with the FHA. What is the issue with the FHA? FHA will come up with some... there's certain things that they don't like. For instance, this is the biggest one we see. There's flaking paint. Well, you may have said in your offer that anything, which I see a lot, anything on an inspection less than $1,000 to remedy, you won't even ask for. You won't even bring it up. So the seller knows it's only going to be major issues that you're going to bring up. Well, it may only be $300 or $400 to fix the flaking paint. On FHA, they require it fixed. And you can't close on that house without it being fixed. And it's not your house, so you can't really go fix it. And the seller isn't willing to fix it. So that's something that will come up on a VA or FHA that can create a problem, and why sometimes they don't want the FHA. So we will try to qualify you for a conventional if we can. I think that the conventional is a better mortgage for most people, but let's talk about the difference and why. What is the difference between the two? If you have certain credit, the lower the credit score on FHA on their mortgage insurance. First, you have to put 3.5% down on an FHA, 0 down on a VA, and 3% for a first-time home buyer on conventional, and 5% on a repeat home buyer on conventional. So let's take the FHA. On an FHA, the mortgage insurance, no matter at 3.5% down, no matter what your credit score is a set fee. Okay, your monthly mortgage insurance is 0.85. you don't really need to know that. It's a set fee. If you have 5% or more down, it's 0.8. So it's a set fee. And it doesn't matter if your credit score is a 620 or an 820. It gets the same mortgage insurance. If you go to a conventional, mortgage insurance is based on your credit score along with your loan to value. So if you get down to these lower credit scores, the monthly mortgage insurance is going to be significantly higher. And it can make the FHA by far the better option. Now, VA, you don't have mortgage insurance, so you don't have to worry about that. You just have the upfront VA funding fee. FHA also requires upfront mortgage insurance, so they collect a percentage, 1.75% of the loan amount, and you don't bring that to closing. It's added to your loan amount, and that's your upfront mortgage insurance, and then you pay your monthly mortgage insurance. So it is a little more expensive to get into an FHA if you have high credit scores. It's not if you have lower credit scores. It can be a better option for you. So the credit scores are going to make a difference. One of the things that we would want to do when we talked and ran it, we would want to get that to do a pre-approval. We want to get the application, run credit, so we can get a really good idea of which way is going to be your best option. And we'll run those options if needed so that you can see what's going to be your best, you know, the best option for you. We talked about the loan to values. FHA, 3.5% down, VA, 0 down, conventional 3% if you're a first-time home buyer, 5% basically if you're a repeat buyer, that's minimum. Conventionally, if you put 20% or more down, you no longer would have mortgage insurance, so you wouldn't have any mortgage insurance just like a VA. That's important. Now, debt to income is important, and FHA is much more forgiving on debt to income. They'll let you go higher than conventional. So, and significantly higher. So if you have a lot of debt, then FHA may be your best option over VA or conventional. We would want to look at that again. We want to look at that number. We want to see what it is. We want to understand it. And so we can, you know, give you the best option. Now, what is DTI or debt to income? There's two debt to income ratios that we look at. We look at your front ratio. And that front ratio is your what I would consider your mortgage ratio. Okay, that's your mortgage payment plus your property tax, monthly property tax, your monthly mortgage insurance, your monthly homeowners insurance, and any homeowners association dues. And if there's flood insurance, that would be added in there. All of those dues are going to be included compared to your income. So we add all those together, we compare it to your income, and we want to that ratio, that's what we look at. The second ratio, or some people call the back ratio, or total ratio, that's everything. So that's all of those numbers plus all other debt payments, minimum debt payments. So if you have a credit card and your minimum payment is $45 a month, but you make a payment of $200 a month, we count $45. Also, if you have a credit card that you pay off every month, but when we pull the credit, it says that you owe $200 and it's a $30 a month payment. We're going to use $30 a month as the payment in our ratio. We have to, because that's what it shows. So that's how that's looked at for the debt to income. Again, FHA is going to go to a much higher debt to income than conventional or VA. The other piece is that FHA has a limit of just over $370,000 for loan amount, where conventional, in fact, it's $379,500, where conventional's the highest loan amount is currently is $548,250. This changes every year. We get the new numbers in very early December, late November, early December, and it kicks in January 1st is when that new number kicks in. But that's where we're at today, $548,250 for conventional and $379,500 for FHA. The VA follows the conventional numbers generally. That's just on the general. So that's how we need to look at that and figure it out. Down payment, you know, that's the other part. We've talked about that. Your FHA requires 3.5% down. Your VA requires 0 down. Your conventional is 3% down. If you're a first-time home buyer, 5% down. If you're a second time or bought a home before, you're going to have a little bit more down necessary. Now, there are some programs, though, that can go a little less down. You know, so the down payment makes a difference. But we're going to go to break. But after the break, I want to talk about what the interest rates look not specific, but kind of how they look on each of those options. And then we're going to get into buying rental property in this market.
You're listening to Indy's Real Estate Gurus, brought to you by Advisors Mortgage Group and Fix It Mortgage. Now back to your host, the hardworking mortgage guy, Rick Rickma.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me. I appreciate it very much. We've been talking about the difference between FHA, VA, and conventional. We talked about the credit scores that VA or FHA is more forgiving on credit scores. The loan-to-value, FHA, is, again, they're on the loan-to-value. Loan-to-value is the loan amount compared to the value of the property, whether that's the appraisal or the purchase price, depends. It's going to be the lower of the two, appraisal or purchase price on a purchase or the appraisal on a refinance. But we talked about that. Again, FHA is a little bit more forgiving on that loan-to-value. And the debt-to-income ratio, we talked about how to you know, calculate that a little bit, just the basics, just so you know what they are. We talked about mortgage insurance. Mortgage insurance premium, I'll jump into that real quick again. Mortgage insurance premium, because I forgot this, on a conventional mortgage, it's called PMI, private mortgage insurance. It's because a conventional mortgage is a private mortgage. On an FHA, it's called MIP, that's mortgage insurance premium. They are virtually the same thing. Just the FHA is a government, so it's mortgage insurance premium. The conventional is PMI, private mortgage insurance, because it's private. It's not government program. So that's, but they're the same. So just, you can look at them the same, but MIP and PMI, same thing. We talked about the down payment, what's required. Now we're just on interest rate in general. This isn't in general thing. We have to talk. We have to get the information to give you exact numbers. But the interest rate, FHA and VA will tend to have lower rates than conventional. But VA, you have to be a veteran. So if you don't qualify, that won't matter. FHA, you have upfront mortgage insurance. So your upfront mortgage insurance, you know, may give you, if you have low credit scores, may give you a much better interest rate than a conventional would, along with better mortgage insurance. So that's all that we look at. We want to look at and get you the best option. There is no one right answer. There's a variety of options, and that gives you kind of a really good, just basic overview of conventional versus FHA and VA.
Now it's time for Questions with the Gurus.
Well, questions for the gurus. This one is a question I get, not a tremendous amount, but it's one of those pieces that even if I don't get the question, I may end up going over, and we've talked about it a little bit today. But this came from Jerry, and he asked, you know, what he wanted to know what his credit score meant and how it was going to affect the mortgage, specifically, of course, the mortgage interest rate. So the credit score, you know, credit scores run from 350 to 850 for a mortgage. And we really want to see for a mortgage, you know, basically, and again, there may be some exceptions. We have options to go below this, but really 620 today up to 850, that's where we want to be. The lower the rate, the lower the credit score is, the more expensive the mortgage is going to be, because the lower score is giving a risk rating. It means there's some risk there. And as you look at a credit report, you can see what that risk is: missed payments, high debt, the minimum payment compared to the income. But also we want to look at what the current balance is compared to the limit. Those things all affect your credit scores. How long you've had credit, that affects your credit score. Somebody could have, you know, low score, but it's just because they just didn't have much in credit. So a mortgage is going to be the most important builder of credit or destroyer of credit that you're going to find. So you want to always make your mortgage payment on time. And it's critical that you that you maintain the highest credit scores you can. And if they're low, we want to work on what you can do to get those up, because it's going to make a difference in everything that you finance. But they're not static. They change. They can change constantly. I've seen some commercials out there talking about, I can't remember which one is doing it, Experian, TransUnion, or Equifax, but, you know, I changed my credit score in 18 points in 2 seconds. Well, that is true, but it's not accurate. And it's not accurate because it doesn't change the score for a mortgage. If you had a low score and you thought, oh, I'm just going to run on there and do that, and my credit score is going to come up, what they do to get it up for those 18 points or whatever points it increases does not increase it for a mortgage pull. And I don't believe it increases it for a car pull or most other pulls. So it's one of those things that you'll feel good about, but it may not actually do any good because it doesn't actually mean anything for anybody who's pulling credit to give you credit. So if you have something like that, you want to get your credit score up, you want to do that, that's fine. Just know that in most situations that I know of, it's not going to increase your credit score. If you need to work on your credit, my recommendation would be is go to my website, hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Contact me, tell me, hey, I have low credit scores, I'd like to see what I can do. What we would do is get an application. We would run credit through our credit agency. We would run it in their computer system, and it would kick out a set of instructions if it can figure out a way. Sometimes it can't, but if it figures out a way, a set of instructions on how to get your credit score up and what exactly you need to do. It is vitally important that you do that over trying to do it on your own without knowing what you should do. And I'll give you a very good example of this in my opinion. I had a customer who I ran this through, and it said to pay this bill down, it was a credit card, to $10. And it said, do not pay it to zero, because if you pay it to zero, it's going to lower your credit score. Now, who would know that? I don't know of anybody who would know that, and most people would think, I'm just going to pay it off to zero. In this case, that was not the best thing. And that's because, you know, what you owe, timing, all that stuff matters, and this system, it can calculate all that. So we want to make sure that you do the right things to get your credit score up. And that's what credit can do. It can change your rate. I mean, it can change it very, very much. I had one where the credit score came in low, they were doing a cash out, and the rate came in, I mean, 1.5% over what today's rates are. When we worked on it and that's on a conventional. When we worked on it and worked on the credit, it dropped it back down. We were a tad higher than current rates, but it made a huge difference. And I mean, you save 1.25% on a rate, you know, that's significant on a large loan. That can be hundreds of dollars a month, or at least $30, $40, $50 a month, which can be significant in savings. So we want to look at that. So the credit does matter. You want to make sure that as you look at that, and you look at we look at credit. If you think you have credit issues, that we go through that and we figure it out, and figure out what's the best way to move you down the path to much better credit. With that, let's move on to, we were talking about the FHA and conventional. We talked about the interest rates. FHA interest rates and VA interest rates tend to be a little lower. But let's move on to buying a rental property. Now, in this market, it's already hard to find houses. I understand that. But I've actually had several people buy non-owner occupied properties or rental properties. So let's talk about the difference, because it does matter. And then after that, we'll talk, if we have time, I'm going to go over second homes or lake homes, because that seems to be pretty big for people. So buying a rental property, the first thing you need to know on a rental property is it requires more down payment. FHA will not finance a rental property. VA won't finance a rental property. So your only option without going to the secondary market would be conventional, and they 25% is basically required. We can do it with 20%, but it becomes extremely expensive, and it's almost better to put the 5% extra down, because it costs about the same and you owe 5% less on the house. So I would just say down payment, unless push comes to shove, 25% down is going to be required. That is going to be your minimum. Now, qualifying. So as we look at qualifying for non-owner occupied property, one of the nice things is that if we can come up with what the income's going to be, or it already has income, we can a lot of times use the income to help qualify you for the property. So that can be a big boon. Some lenders can't do that. Some can. We can, for the most part. Not on everybody, but it all depends on the situation. But we'd want to talk about that, make sure you know what you can do. But it's not as hard to qualify as some people think. Now, your interest rate on a non-owner occupied is going to be higher. So just know that it's going to be higher. Why? Because there's a higher risk. Because if for some reason you can't make payments, you're going to stop making a payment on a rental property long before you stop making the payment on your primary residence. And that has happened over and over again. Everybody knows it. So you have to pay a little higher in interest rate, but it's certainly worthwhile to get that. Remember, we talked about the appreciation rate right now is 13.1% year over year. That's what it's been. So if you buy rental properties, are a tremendous option right now if you can get one, because they're increasing at such a great amount. Also, rents are increasing. Rents have gone up significantly. I was looking at a chart the other day, and it's just unbelievable how fast the rental rates are going up. So it's another reason if you're a renter to buy a house, but if you're buying a house or you want to rent, there's such a lack of inventory. There's plenty of renters, and the rents are very high. It's very easy to cash flow the property. It's very easy to rent the property. So it is a good time to be in that business. And again, the qualifying is not really that much different. The big issue becomes that debt to income ratio. That's where it helps to be able to use some of the income from the property so that it doesn't kill your debt to income ratio, because basically you're going to be carrying two houses. So we have to, you know, that is the biggest issue I see. Second would be the down payment being 25%. That can be an issue for some people. But again, with the increase in the value of our properties, I have people who will do pull some of the equity out of their current home and then use that cash as a down payment on a non-owner occupied or rental property so that they can get into the business. And again, it's a great option right now. Rents are up. We talked about that. They're up significantly. Another option is the Airbnb. Airbnb can be that's a way to rent the house. Now, it's a little more difficult to use that income for qualifying, but I know several people who have properties that they do on the Airbnb, and they do extremely well. The cash flow is very high. You obviously you don't have the long-term renter. It could be a daily, you know, few days or weekly renter, and you have more, you know, chance of damage, things like that. But the income can be significantly higher, and people are becoming more and more comfortable with the Airbnb. So we're seeing that more and more, and it is a great way to cash flow a property. It's one of those things you'd want to look it up, but I know it is a great way, and we can finance a property you're going to do as an Airbnb. The last one is you could find a property that needs renovation. And this is one that I'm getting, this is probably the biggest part of the non-owner occupied or rental market that I'm seeing is people who need to, they find a house and they're able to find a house that needs renovation, and it could need, you know, minor work, but that's not out there. It's the major work. It's major items that you can't normally even finance a home. There may be, you know, walls missing. There may be cabinets missing, no sinks, no toilets, that kind of thing, where most people walk in it and they don't see it as a viable option. So you don't have anywhere near the competition. So you can buy this, you can do it as a renovation, and we can rent, you know, use use a renovation. One of the pieces, though, to the renovation loan is that it does require you to have a contractor do the work. You can't personally do the work. And that's the only thing I find that sometimes makes this not a good option for somebody is they're very handy. They want to do the work themselves. And that's really not an option under that program. I have no options. I don't know of any options where you can actually do the work on your own. So if you're looking at rental property, but you find some properties that need work, first rental property I ever bought, there was no kitchen, there was no bath, and we didn't have a renovation loan. It would have been great to. Fortunately, we had the money to fix it up and renovate it, but it is certainly an option and something I would definitely, if you're looking at that, I would definitely think you should consider. Now, the other piece, and I'll go through this fairly quickly, is the second home or a lake home. I don't know if you've heard, but the normal market's on fire. The second home and lake home is like a rocket ship. It is unbelievably hot. Those homes are going up. I mean, it's just amazing. It is amazing to me. The key on a second home or, second home, lake home. When I say lake home, I'm talking about a second home. So key on a second home is you have to have 10% down. You cannot finance it with a FHA mortgage. Need 10% down. Normal qualifying. So you have your current home. If you have that, you got to qualify for both houses. Lots of people do with these low rates. It's amazing how much you can qualify for. We just need to run through that. Make sure you qualify. And the same thing. We do the same pre-approval. We do the same options there. We run through all of that. Make sure you're qualified and get that out to you. We also can do the renovation loans on a second home. So if you find a second home, but it needs work. Again, I watch these shows, HGTV, and I can't remember what the other one's called. And there's lots of them where they're renovating lake homes or renovating these second homes. We can do that. We have the product in order to be able to finance that. Product where houses that you couldn't otherwise finance because they are lacking kitchens or they're lacking sinks or toilets or a variety of things. We have the ability to finance that type of product, and it can be a great option if you to help in this market find the house, but also then you can put it together in your way, the way you want it. Now, it could be a house that's perfectly good, but you want to redo the kitchen. We can use it that way too in both options, buying a home, buying a rental property, or buying a second home. So there are some great options if you're looking at financing, looking at maybe buying a rental property or buying a second home. We have some great options for that. Again, the best thing for buying a home, refinancing, finding a real estate agent, contact me. Go to hardworkingmortgageguy.com. That's hardworkingmortgageguy.com. Or you can give me a call, and my number is 317-215-7600. That's my direct line. Again, 317-215-7600. Just get a hold of me. We'll talk through it, figure out what the best options are for you, and run through all the information. Again, I appreciate it very much. I hope you have a great Saturday.